Welcome everybody to the pre-convention session for the California Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. This is Frank Welty, the current CAAVL president. I'm welcoming you all here this afternoon for what I think is going to be a very important and informative session that whether you think it applies to you now or not, it will. So take heed and learn like I'm going to. And with that, I will turn the microphone over to Jeff Tom to continue as our moderator. Thank you very much. And thank you to our program people for getting this together. It's going to be a great program.
Okay, thank you, Frank. The Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, our parent organization, decided that its 2025 advocacy initiative would be to interact with senior centers and area agencies on aging. The goals were sort of twofold. Number one, so that our community, the blindness community, would learn what senior centers and area agencies on aging themselves do. And number two, that those agencies would learn our needs and how they could better serve us. And in order to help move that initiative along today, we have two incredible people. In fact, I was just pondering this as I was ready to start my introductions. And to be quite honest, I've introduced a lot of people over the years in a lot of, you know, venues, but I don't know when I've had two people at the same time that I admire as much as these two. I'll introduce them both and then bring our first one on. Our first speaker today is Danny Lee, and I have, because I have some internet issues, I don't have her title with me, but she is a coordinator of several programs at A Community of Caring, which is a senior center local to my wife and I and a number of other people. Connie Bateman is on this call in our South Sacramento community. And she has really spearheaded the relationship which has developed between our two communities. And I'll have her tell you all about that in a moment. And our other speaker is a legend in the American Council of the Blind, Larry Johnson, author, advocate, commentator.
If you need anything, let me know. I can hear you, Bob.
He's done it all and continues to do it all.
What?
And we really would like people to mute if they could. While our speaker's coming on. So first, I'm going to introduce for our first speaker, Danny Lee. Danny, take it away.
Jeff, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I'm really feeling happy to be here. And Jeff, I don't live too far away from you, and my internet is also down. So I've been going from house to house trying to figure out where to be for this. But I'm on cellular data, so. So I know that the three of us, you, me, and Connie, are all in that area. but thank you for that wonderful introduction. And hi, everyone. So my title is Home and Community-Based Programs Manager at ACC Senior Services in the South Sacramento area. Just to tell you a little bit about our organization, you who are not aware or have never heard of us, we're a nonprofit organization that was founded back in 1972, and we provide a variety of programs for the community, and the goal is to keep people aging in place. And so we're hoping that we try to limit the number of people who need to go into assisted living homes or memory care facilities, and we want to keep people's independence as long as possible, and keeping people people social for as long as possible. And so several of the programs that we have been integrated with Jeff and his organization and the blind and low vision community in our area. And so several programs I'll touch on include our rides transportation program and our senior escort program and our lifelong learning and wellness program, which just is a long, fancy way of saying classes and activities and social opportunities and events. And we also have just created a new program called the Chat Program, which is a conversation-based phone calls to improve socialization, especially for those who are unable to leave their homes or live too far away from us to utilize our other services. And so we also have a skilled nursing facility, memory care, independent living and assisted living, and Meals on Wheels delivered food. So that's our organization. And it's actually quite a small organization. So, you know, I feel really honored to be in this space with you all, because I know that there are some heavy hitters that will be speaking today and the next day. And so, you know, we are just really we have had such a nice partnership with Jeff and the rest of the people that we have come into contact with. And Jeff, I was trying for the life of me to figure out how we first met exactly, but I believe it was through our senior escort program. So back a couple years ago, our organization created something called the Senior Escort Program. I mean, it was actually initially due to the hate that was happening to the Asian American community and seniors specifically, because 95% of attacks and incidents were happening to people who were alone. And so that was why we created the program initially.
Or did you already vote?
And so we...
Hey, Dirk, excuse me. Dirk, could you mute, please? Dirk, thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. No problem. And so we created that program initially for that effort. That's where the funding came from. But as we went along, we had had a few people sign up that were blind or had some vision loss. And so we soon realized that not only was this good for safety, but this was a great opportunity for people who were, you know, maybe needing somebody just to be a guide for them. But it wasn't even just that. It's just for socialization, for physical activity, and really mental stimulation. A lot of times it's just nice to get to talk to new people and meet new people and really create friendships. And so this was really, and so for myself, it was really the first time coming into contact with people who were having different types of needs. But, you know, we looked at our qualifications and everybody that was contacting us who was blind or had low vision was independent. They travel on their own. They used our transportation services. And so it was just a new venture for us. But we realized what a great opportunity and partnership it would be to be able to serve this community and really learn from them. So that's where we started. And I had to say, Jeff and Leslie were some of the very first participants who joined the program. And our volunteers would come back to us and say, how great of a time they had chatting and that they wanted to be paired with them again to go for walks. And, it was just a really nice thing to have and for people to learn about. But as we went along, we realized that obviously every person is different. And so we've gotten guidance on how to train our volunteers to be guides for people and to be asking the appropriate questions and to not be touching guide dogs, to be not touching people who without permission, you know, things like that. And so there was so much, and there still is so much for us to learn. But so we began to train our volunteers on several of these efforts, and we're continuing to have open dialogue. And so that's something that I think is a little bit unique about our organization and our partnership with Jeff and his community is that we are always open to talking about different things and getting feedback. I've contacted different people who were blind or low vision that have gone with new volunteers to get their feedback and see if there's anything we can, you know, improve on. And so always learning from each other and finding ways we can work together on future things. And, you know, and it's not just our staff who are dedicated, though. A lot of these things that have come about with our partnership is due to our wonderful volunteer base and dedicated team of volunteers who are interested in learning more and wanting to do the right thing. And so past the senior escort program, we have also been able to work with some of our classes to make them more accessible. And so, like I mentioned, our wonderful volunteers, we have volunteer instructors teaching classes that are like dance or Zumba-based classes or Tai Chi and yoga. And so those instructors have worked one-on-one with people at times to teach them the moves separately from the class. And so that way they could feel comfortable going to the class and knowing what cues to take from instructors. Because as many of you know, most of the instructors are not speaking in a way that is completely descriptive. And so this is a whole new venture. And so luckily for us, our instructors have been very willing to help make that accommodation. And so something that we've done is created a chair exercise class that where not just that people could sit in the chair, but that to have a chair nearby so someone who was blind or had low vision could know where they were in the class. And something else that we've also done is partnering to create game days. And so this is a newer effort that was created by one of our volunteers that started with the Senior Escort Program and became wonderful friends with Jeff and Leslie and several others who he walked with. And thought, you know what, let's try to do some other things. What else can we make accessible? And so it became this fun opportunity that we call game day. And now we also have created mobile game days because we go out into the community and different organizations that don't have, you know, transportation to get to us. So we're taking it on the road with us. But at these game days, that volunteer developed a bunch of different field type games where there is sound and bells used to help identify the target. So for example, there is cornhole. And so that's where you throw a beanbag into the hole. And on the other end is somebody making noise with the wood. So that way somebody could hear where to throw the beanbag. And then there's something else that, for example, frisbee. And there's a big net and there's bells in the center. So you know approximately where the frisbee should land. And oh my, and the other day we just had another game day. They were using a baseball bat and hitting the softball into the net too. That someone who was completely blind hit it straight into the target every time. It was amazing. And I saw some of the other volunteers who were sighted trying to do the same and they could not, which was so fun. They were having some competition, which was really a good time. And so, these are several of the different things that we have done with the blind and low vision community. And we're always seeking to learn what else we can do. Something else that I've just had a conversation with somebody else for our website is what type of documents should we have to list all of the classes on, because it's not very readable with someone's reader when it's just listed on the website, or what type of what is the best format for them, you know? So those are things that we still need to improve on, and we're always trying to get better. But these are all the things that we've been working towards with this group. And honestly, working with this chapter has been such a blessing, too, because, first of all, you're such a huge and active community. So we are so happy that you're able to participate in all of our events and classes. But also because it's just so important for us to be accessible in multiple ways. And so it's opened our eyes to other people who might need other accommodations too. And so it's something that was not really considered before you joined our group. So I really want to thank you for working with us and making us a better organization. You know, we serve seniors and caregivers and their families in the community. So, but this is such a important part of our community to make sure that everything is accessible if we are serving seniors and their families. So, so those are some of the things that we have done and some of the upcoming new things and recent things that we're excited about is building accessible garden beds. And so that same volunteer also has been helping people who are blind or low vision create garden beds, and then people can come in and work on them together. We also are putting in higher set accessible garden beds for people who may not be able to bend down very easily to the ground. So yeah, so that's an exciting project that we have coming this spring and summer. And so those are just a few things that we've been working towards. And I don't want to take up too much time if we also need to have some time for questions. But again, just grateful to be here and honored that Jeff thinks I'm doing a good enough job to be speaking here today. But we appreciate your partnership in helping us reach such an important community and provide these services and allow us to come and do educational presentations to your group. And everyone's been so kind and friendly to us and welcoming. So so I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Danny. And I just want to say, you know, ACC is really a model, and I urge all of you all over the state to, you know, try to forge the type of partnership that we have here in South Sacramento, because it has been such a blessing. And it isn't just the folks in our own chapter. It's people all over the blindness community that have benefited. And that's the way it you know, definitely should be. So now we'll move to our second speaker. And really, Larry Johnson, in large part, drove the initiative that I referred to earlier. He has been incredibly active in San Antonio, Texas, where he's from, working with his area agency on aging, finding out about the services that they provide and that, unfortunately, very few people who are blind or who have low vision benefit from. And in large part, we don't benefit from them because we don't approach our folks at senior centers. And so to give us a little snapshot of what's going on in the senior center world, and I know to urge us to, you know, become more integrated with them, I want to bring on Larry Johnson all the way from Texas. Larry?
Thanks, Jeff. And I think I'm ready to move to Sacramento. I love that all those games that you're introducing, Danny. And so I'm almost ready to get my plane ticket and fly out there.
As long as you root for the 49ers and not the Cowboys, then we will accept you. But otherwise.
Oh, that may be a problem. I don't know. Anyway, so... Actually, I have a due connection with Sacramento. I have a brother who lives in Sacramento. So Sacramento is a friendly place. It really is. And I congratulate you very, very heartily on all that you're doing with your senior center attendees. So keep it up. Keep it up. You know, I was thinking about this, and what should I say? Well, I really want to kind of take it from the beginning. I really think I'm one of the lucky ones. I really am. I'm very lucky because, you see, I'm already a senior and I'm already blind, and I've been blind all my life. So that means that I pretty much know about the challenges and the inconveniences and the limitations that loss of vision and getting old present. I've learned to do my own cooking, my own laundry, house cleaning, pay bills, go shopping, read most of my mail. and be independent enough to be able to live in my own home. So I do consider myself as one of the lucky ones. But then, you know, I think about the 4.5 million other legally blind Americans who live in the United States, and about the tens of thousands of baby boomers who are just beginning to join the senior population, and the fact that almost 3 million of them are, over the next 15 years, are expected to experience loss of vision. So they're going to face the prospect of no longer being able to drive, no longer being able to read their personal mail or the newspaper. They're going to be afraid to do their own cooking, afraid of cutting themselves or burning themselves on the stove. They're going to feel angry and scared and depressed. It's a frightening experience for someone who has been sighted all of their life and suddenly go blind. Going blind is a devastating, traumatic experience. Some people, when they go blind, even think about ending their life. So the goal is for seniors, older people who experience severe vision loss, to be able to age in place, to be able to live independently and with dignity and stay out of a nursing home. That's the goal, right? And along with that, along with the losing of vision, also come other chronic health conditions. In fact, research data reveals that a dramatically higher prevalence of chronic health conditions happens to people who are also experiencing vision loss, much more so compared to people who have vision. Here's some interesting statistics. 16% of visually impaired individuals report having had a stroke versus just 7% of those without visual loss. 36% versus 22% report having diabetes. 17% versus 10% report having had a heart attack. 33% versus 15% report having hearing problems. 26% versus 13% report suffering from depression. And visual impairment among older people significantly increases their risk of falling. 47% versus 28%. Sadly, current resources and funding is shockingly inadequate to address the present need, let alone the projected future need. Federal funding, state agencies, nonprofits, all put together, are able to provide services to less than 5% of the population. So we've got a big challenge. I say we because the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, nationally as well as its two affiliates, we have this challenge, and we've got to find some new initiatives. And one of those initiatives we decided was the importance of reaching out to those agencies that are committed to working with the aging community, the sighted aging community, like senior centers and like area agencies on aging.
Google, set timer for 30 minutes.
All right, 30 minutes. Starting now.
What?
Somebody needs to mute.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them.
Please.
Okay. Well, 12 years ago, I attended a conference in Denver, Colorado, and I learned about a fall prevention program that was called A Matter of Balance. And it sounded interesting. And so I asked the presenters, how can I get involved in this? Well, they told me, well, when you get back to San Antonio, contact your local area agency on aging. I didn't know what that was. And ask them. Well, I did that. And the result was that I wound up volunteering to become a certified trainer of fall prevention. And the program manager arranged to have the training manual transcribed for me into Braille. So over the next 7 years until COVID came along, I taught classes to seniors all over San Antonio. And you know, fall prevention training is especially important for blind and low vision older adults. As I mentioned earlier, they're about 50% more likely to experience a fall than someone who is sighted. So then what? Well, this is where I learned about area agencies on aging and what they do. This was my introduction to them. So the Older Americans Act, abbreviated OAA, authorizes the provision of services to support the independence, health, and well-being of eligible people 60 years of age and older. And the OAA is the principal funding source for those services. Particular attention is paid to people with low incomes, older people who belong to minority groups, and older people who reside in rural areas. The programs and services offered by local AAAs greatly vary from community to community, but some of the common ones include benefits counseling, which could include assistance with completing and submitting applications, compiling necessary documents for programs like Medicare or Medicaid, long-term care insurance, low-income subsidy help, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Legal assistance with things like wills and powers of attorney, probates, advance directives, divorce, transfer on death deeds, adoptions and adult guardianship. Then there's the weatherization assistance program. So if it's available in your area, this program provides energy conservation measures to low-income households to help reduce energy costs. Caregiver program, the National Family Caregiver Support Program, exists again under the Older Americans Act. Its purpose to serve unpaid primary caregivers who care for a loved one 60 years of age or older or another loved one who may not be 60 years of age, but is suffering from Alzheimer's or other related dementia. The program also could include some limited services for grandparents or other relatives 55 years of age and older who are raising children 18 years of age or younger. Then there's the nutrition programs. You're familiar mostly with Meals on Wheels, of course, which provide nutritionally balanced meals delivered to an individual 60 years of age to their home who has been assessed as homebound. They can't get out. There are congregate meals, which are served in special locations such as a senior center or a nearby community center. And these are served to, again, adults 60 years of age who are mobile. The setting allows for older adults to meet and socialize with other adults and participate in scheduled activities. Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, a really important program, and it may not be of benefit to you, but you can certainly get involved in it. This is for residents who live in nursing homes or assisted living facilities. They often need an advocate to ensure that their rights, their health, and their well-being are being protected. A couple of recent studies of some 95 nursing homes in North Carolina and Delaware revealed nearly two-thirds or 66% of residents in these facilities are either classified as legally blind or have severe visual impairments. Long-Term Care Ombudsmen investigate these concerns, they report the findings, and they help achieve solutions. These are mostly trained and certified volunteers. This is an excellent opportunity for us blind seniors to demonstrate to the sighted world that even though we may be blind or have low vision, we're still able and eager to be useful to our community as a volunteer. Your AAA would love to have you volunteer. And I promise you, they would make the materials available in the format that you require. And of course, Fall Prevention Program, and most area agencies on aging or many senior centers offer classes in fall prevention for persons 60 years of age or older. And as I said earlier, this was the one for which I volunteered and trained for, and how I learned all about AAAs. AAAs. Yes, what did I learn? Well, the first thing I was able to learn was that I could get help putting grab bars installed in my bathroom. I was able to take advantage of meals delivered to my home, and I benefited from their Senior Home Companion program. And under that program, I had a volunteer college graduate student come to my home once a week to help me with paying bills, play table games with me, accompany me to museums, to our botanical garden, and to the supermarket. We became very good friends. I attended her graduation, and even though she now lives in Houston, we still keep in touch. 3 years ago, I applied for and was appointed a member of Bexar County's AAA Senior Advisory Committee, and I began working to help the AAA staff and the volunteers understand about the special needs and barriers to service among blind and low-vision older adults. And as a result, our committee was able to schedule with the staff of the AAA to hold 5 community outreach information events or information fairs at 5 different senior centers located throughout San Antonio. The purpose, of course, was to inform the general public and the deaf and blind populations in particular about the programs and services offered by the AAA on aging. I have to sadly report that the turnout from the blind community was very disappointing. So sometimes even though services are being offered or attempts are being made to inform our fellow visually impaired colleagues about services, they don't respond. I think the total of 5 presentations that we gave, and despite our efforts to announce it to the senior support groups, to the Lighthouse for the Blind, to the two chapters of the NFB and ACB in San Antonio, we had a total of 4 blind people attend. They also, the AAA also made the programs and services information available on a USB thumb drive in Word, both in Spanish and English, for blind and low vision attendees who wish to receive the information in that format. I've made 2 sensitivity awareness PowerPoint presentations on blindness, one of them to the AAA senior management staff, and another to the 40-member advisory committee. We scheduled a presentation by the San Antonio Lighthouse for the Blind, which is now called Vibrant Works, by the way, to the local AAA senior advisory committee, and an outreach presentation by AAA staff was sent to the San Antonio Lighthouse to present to their senior support group. And just a couple of months ago, the AAA staff created a multimedia video describing the programs and services available from the AAA, which was then distributed and shared with organizations, agencies, and audiences, including blind and deaf populations of Bexar County, in order to increase awareness of and participation in these programs and services by all seniors who may benefit from them. The Area Agency on Aging of Bexar County, which serves some 258,000 older adults, 60 years of age and older, is now more aware of and responsive to the needs and concerns of some 25,000 older individuals who are blind or have low vision here in San Antonio, as well as those who are deaf or hard of hearing. But it's still a work in progress, and more needs to be done. Now, as Jeff mentioned early on, the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, of which your affiliate is a member, has just launched a nationwide initiative to have ACB members identify and reach out to their local area agency on aging in their community and invite them to attend a chapter meeting to talk about its programs and services. The next step will be for that chapter or people in that chapter to reciprocate by offering to make a presentation to the AAA staff and or its advisory committee about blindness and how they can make their programs and services more accessible to people with low vision. And the third step, we hope, is that some of our ACB members will seek the opportunity to join the local AAA's advisory committee or council, and thus be in a position to continue to educate and assist its staff and volunteers to better understand how best to outreach their services to the older blind population. And this is an initiative which you, individually or as a group, can participate in. Let me send a personal message to you. Many of you may be near the age of 70 or 75 or wherever. And I want to point out that this is not where life ends. It's really where life begins. I mean, you've raised your children, you've retired from your job, you have lots of time on your hands, so what do you do with it? Well, you can sit around in your rocking chair and listen to audiobooks or podcasts. You can reminisce nostalgically about the good old days while sipping a cup of ginger root tea. Or you can use your knowledge, your experience, your talent, to teach the public, particularly the sighted public, about how to help create a friendlier, a kinder environment for people who are blind or have low vision. Because you've faced and overcome dozens of challenges throughout your life, because you've made mistakes and learned from them, because you've succeeded after failing, because you've gotten back up after falling, you're an excellent example, a role model for others. So do not discount your value. Do not withhold your wisdom. Do not hesitate to help. You have the opportunity and the responsibility to give back to your community and to the world in whatever way you can, with the knowledge and the experience which you've acquired over the years. And to do so with joy and enthusiasm. I repeat, your life is not over. You've just begun a new chapter. Now, having said all of that nice stuff, and wanting to leave a clear impression of what is ahead and what the challenge really is, I have to confess to you that the landscape has shifted. And the opportunity to take advantage of many of these programs and services that I've outlined is not going to be as easy as it was a year ago or 6 months ago. Because I just learned from the executive director of our local AAA that federal funding is being cut. So they're going to have some reductions in some of their services and some of their programs. Now, that doesn't mean we should not reach out to those AAAs and invite for them to come and say, well, what programs do you have? What services can you offer? And what are the challenges for our people to be able to participate? Yes. I want you to continue to consider advocating for services from the AAAs and from the senior centers. But at the same time, I want you also to offer to advocate for them. Perhaps your state legislature might be willing to take up some of the slack, to fill some of the gaps. Or perhaps there are more volunteers you can help recruit for them to help them continue to provide the services and programs that they need. And so it's a two-way street. And believe me, maybe building that kind of reciprocity might actually be a blessing in disguise. Because if we show them that we can help them, not that we just want them to help us, then we build a partnership that will endure. So that's where I want us to go. That's what I want us to think about. Not that, oh, how terrible it is. They've lost their funding, so I guess we won't even bother trying. No. Yes. I want you to try. I want you to build that partnership, and I want you to realize that you probably can still receive many of these programs and services, but you might also have to offer some of your time, energy, knowledge, and experience to help them be able to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. There's a lot to chew on in what both of our speakers have said today. And now we have another Larry who's going to help us out here with questions, our host with the most, Larry Gassman. So, Larry, do we have any hands raised? Now's the time to ask either of our speakers.
Well, we have one
whatever you like.
Been up for most of the meeting, so I don't know if it's in this context, but we'll find out. Nellie Emerson, your hand is up, and we'll ask you to unmute. And we have other hands besides Nellie, so let's see what's happening with Nellie.
That was accidentally up. I don't have a question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So, area code 970-874-970, I believe, is Colorado Springs.
That's pretty good knowledge, Larry, if you're right.
If I'm right. That's a big, big
yeah,
if.
Yeah.
So, 970, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Catherine. Thank
Wait a
you
minute.
For
Tell
a wonderful...
Tell her where you're from, Catherine. Where are you, Catherine?
Actually, I live in Fort Collins, Colorado, but northern Colorado, but right now I'm in another city in northern Colorado, so north of Denver an hour. My question is for both of the presenters. Since I live in Colorado, I love what you presented today, but I would like to see if this is available. I know about Area Agency on Aging. That's a tongue twister. But I want to know if how I can use this information to help myself here in Colorado. Where do I start? Thank you.
I'll try to answer
hey,
that
anybody
for
wanna,
you.
Go ahead.
There used to be a real simple way to find that out. There was a website which was called eldercare.gov, which I referred people to, and all they had to do was put in their zip code, and then they would immediately find the AAA that was most closest to them. I tried to do that before joining this this webinar, and discovered that they are temporarily out of service. They are undergoing changes based upon the most recent executive orders from the president. So we don't know how to get in touch with your local AAA. You might try 311 and see if you have a 311 in your area. They might be able to help you locate it. Otherwise, you might call your city council person or state representative and ask them to assist you.
And I'll chime in.
Thanks,
so
Larry.
I just wanted to chime in as well. Larry, do you happen to know if there are independent living centers or organizations in Colorado? Because at least in California, we have a coalition called the Aging and Disability Resource Connection that it includes AAAs, independent living centers, and sometimes local organizations like ours at ACC. And so that's just a full network, and it includes – and here it's called 211, which is their information center. And so that is the same thing that Larry recommended, is calling your whatever number it is in Colorado to get connected to the Agency on Aging classes. And then they often hold classes at local organizations nearby you. So, like, for example, our AAA – partners with us to hold classes that are evidence-based periodically at our center and other local ones. So that's really their big push. So I agree, Larry, that would be the best place. But also if you research, you should be able to contact them directly and find services that are near your area online if you're able to access it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, because they are, you know, we don't know what will happen with their funding, but up until now, they have become far more prevalent throughout the country at providing a whole array of services for both seniors and people with disabilities. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Danny.
Yeah, there's also, I think Danny was kind of making reference to it. The Administration on Community Living
was able to establish and fund about, I think, starting 10, 12 years ago, something called
ADRC.
Disability Resource
Connection.
Yeah, ADRC. And the purpose of the ADRC was to act as a sort of a front door to refer people to whatever local services might be beneficial to them, not just to the senior center or the AAA, but to other community services that it might be beneficial. In some instances, for example, in our area, the ADRC and the AAA are housed in the same place. In other localities, however, they are totally separate. And so you may also ask for that organization or agency, and if you can get a hold of them, they would be really an excellent way to connect you with not just the AAA and the senior center, but other kinds of agency services that you may need.
Right. And just so you guys know, you could also, when you search it online, they have a Find My Services in My Area section on their page. And so you can go by county to figure out where the ADRCs operate and what type of communities are involved with them. And so exactly what Larry said, it's like a full network. So we call it, at least on our end, the No Wrong Door system. So if you talk to any of those organizations in the ADRC, whether they can help you or another organization can help you, their job is to do a warm handoff to the next place rather than just hand you a list of phone numbers. So it's supposed to be enhanced information and referral sources and options counseling in service coordination.
I'm afraid it's going to be
okay.
A scramble for you, Catherine, because the ACL, which I referred to earlier, which was the one that kind of oversaw and funded these ADRCs, has been sort of disabled and moved into a conglomerate of other agencies under Health and Human Services. So we really don't know what the final disposition is going to be of services for seniors.
Thank you. Larry G., next hand.
Right. Yeah, Connie Bateman, you are next.
Hello, can you hear me?
We hear
yes.
you.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Danny and Larry, for this excellent presentation. I just want to give a big cheer to ACC, a community of caring, let me give you an example of how we worked together. So she already told you about the walk program, the game day and all that. I want to mention the exercise program. So when I lost my, when I was young, I used to be able to do aerobics dance and all that stuff. But when I lost all my sight, became senior, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to ever do that again. But then there was an exercise class that came up called Moving On. It's a dance aerobics class, basically. So Danny connected me by email with the instructor. He started meeting with me on Zoom. I have a free Zoom account, showed me the movements, made sure I was doing them correctly and safely. Then I signed up with the ACC Rides program, and they started taking me to classes. They get me there 15 minutes early on Friday, and so early enough that he can show me what we're going to be doing that day, because he names all the different routines, and I can't associate the names necessarily with what they are. But that's just an example of how, if you reach out to your AAA or your local senior center and work with the person coordinating, you know, the programs, that you can work something out. And I'm happy to report that I am able to do dance aerobics again and other things. And in spite of the fact that I've gone from low vision to blindness. So thank you very much, Danny.
Thank you, Connie. And, you know, I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because I didn't want to shout you out without your consent. But Connie's like our poster child for trying all the different things at ACC. but I do want to – it's not even – you know, it's not as simple, I would say, as Connie's making it. But because I think that Connie – something that Connie did and has done always in her communication to us is be so – gracious and kind in the way that she is asking for different things, right? So I think if when you are approaching, you know, obviously advocacy is such a big word and that is so important. But I think what helps us be so open to helping Connie and others who have approached us is that the way they're doing it, because Connie came and asked for help and we, you know, wanted to try to figure out ways to work around it. And because of her approach is why I think our instructor and myself and our other staff have been so willing to help people in need. You know, it's not like demands or saying this is what you don't have, right? Or what do you have for me?
Exactly.
It's like, I just want to highlight that.
You bring up a very good point, Danny. I didn't even think about this, but kindness and courtesy when you're advocating for your needs goes a very long way. So thank you for pointing that out.
Thanks, Connie.
Any other hands?
Frank Welty, go ahead, please.
Well, Danny and Larry, I want to thank you so much for your presentation today. I think it's everything we hoped it would be and more, and thank you so much. And I know that I feel very energized and motivated to get more involved with our local area agency, on aging here in our area. And it occurs to me that for those of us who encounter some of these cuts in service due to certain political activities that are going on right now, I think that's a real opportunity for us to then to go to our legislators and raise that with them, especially if we're in a state where the legislators are actually supporting some of those trends that I think that if more of us would call their district offices and make some noise when we find that the services we're expecting are suddenly not available, that that's going to wake some people up and make some changes happen.
Thank you. Do we have other hands?
We do not. Not at this time.
Well, I have just a second. Larry, I just wanted to mention to our presenter, Larry, I happen to be a coach for A Matter of Balance as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so glad you mentioned it. And it's for those of you who missed it, that's an evidence-based course to help improve the fears of falling and improve your balance. And so people in the Sacramento area, feel free to contact me if you're interested. We try to do them at least twice a year.
great idea. Yes, do encourage people not only to attend, but also to be trained to become a leader. And what some folks don't realize, Danny, and I think it's important to make clear, that you don't necessarily have to take the class at a particular location. If you can get a group together and in your own complex or church or whatever, and contact the program manager of the program, they will arrange for a trainer to come out and teach you in your own area. So it isn't just that you have to go to a particular location to receive the fall prevention training. They will offer it anywhere in their you'd say geographic area. If you can get a group together of 10 or 12 people, is that right?
That's true. That's very true. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yep. And then actually a lot of the organizations, at least in our area, they're still training sometimes over Zoom because they got used to doing that during the pandemic. So it could be quite accessible. But yes, I would say from a coach perspective too, it's extremely rewarding if you take the training to become a coach and be there for your community. So it's really fun.
All right. If we have no other hands, I'm going to turn it right back to Frank for some closing remarks. But before I do, I just want to, again, thank our two fantastic speakers. I think this has been a very informative, enriching, with a little bit of, unfortunately, a little bit of negativity, but mainly really an uplifting program. So thank you very much to both of you. for talking with us today. And Frank, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Jeff. And again, this has been a great presentation this afternoon. And it's exciting because, you know, we in CCB are very involved in advocacy, I mean, as and we have for many, many years and probably always will be. And what I think is exciting about this approach that we're taking here in our relationship with the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, that it's advocacy right in our backyard. You know, we don't have to go take a trip to Sacramento or to Washington, D.C., or, you know, to even to call a legislative office in the U.S. or state capital, but it's outreach that we can do right in our area, and not just in terms of practical outreach that's about finding out what services are available that we may not know about, getting connected up with them for ourselves, and in the process of doing that, getting to know the people who deliver those services and giving them guidance in how to make those services better for us and other people like us. So it's very down to earth. You know, you don't need to be a lawyer. You don't need to be a trained advocate. You don't need to have some special degree. You can bring your life experience and share it with others and benefit yourself and your whole community right without leaving your town. So it's pretty exciting. And so for those of you that are here on the call, I hope that you feel a bit fired up the way I do right now. And I hope that you will bring that message back to your chapters. And whoever is the program person in your chapter, invite them to get a speaker from your local area agency on aging right away. I know I intend to do that. And start that process going. It's as simple as that. You're just getting a speaker. And I encourage you to reach out to members of your chapter and spread the word about the California Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss. It's the one special interest affiliate in CCB that everybody either now or very soon find that they belong in. In fact, I think everybody belongs in CAAVL, even if you're 22, you know, because it's relevant to all of our lives. And so spread the word. Encourage your chapter to connect with your local senior programs. And let's make California the best place in the world for people to be older with vision loss. And thank you all for coming.